And so I try to be the woman band director for the next generation of woman band directors. I'm looking at, you know, which composers am I programming? Which clinicians am I bringing out? Whose voices am I choosing to elevate when I have the choice? And I think that was also part of that post, was there's so many people that I can help elevate if I can just open my arms when I have that opportunity and just say, hey, come on, let's go do the thing. Let's do it together.
Welcome to Femme Forte, a podcast where we celebrate women in music and performing arts. I'm your host, Amanda DeVries. On today's episode, I am joined by Amanda Pietro. Amanda Pietro currently serves as the Associate Director of Bands at Leander High School in Leander, Texas. Amanda is very actively involved in the drum corps community as a current staff member with Blue Stars and has performed with Phantom Regiment. We talk about the importance of representation, especially women in brass, as well as the importance of being a student-centered leader and educator. This episode is for women in brass, drum corps fans, educators, and students. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome back to Femme Forte. Today, I have a very special person on. We have Amanda Pietro, the assistant band director at Leander High School. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about your background, but, you know, tell our viewers, our listeners, kind of who you are, where you're from, and a little bit about your background in music and music education.
Sure. So I'm Amanda Pietro. I'm currently an assistant band director at Leander High School. This is my fourth year as a band director. I grew up in Illinois, and then I went to school at Indiana University for music education. And then once I graduated, I moved down to Texas, and I've been teaching high school band ever since then. Before that, during college, I also marched drum corps. So I marched with the Phantom Regiment Drum and Bugle Corps for 4 years. I was a trumpet player there. I aged out as the horn sergeant there in 2018. And now I still am in drum corps. I'm involved in drum corps. I teach on the brass staff for the Blue Stars.
Awesome. Well, you said that you're originally from Illinois, so kind of what made you want to move to Texas?
Yeah, I get this question all the time because I think there's like not that many Illinois people that just decide to move halfway across the country right out of college. So it wasn't something that was like a goal of mine going into being a band director. It's kind of something that just came about from marching drum corps and meeting people from all over the world and hearing about what was going on in Texas. It's just something that I hadn't experienced and I wanted to experience. And so I put myself out there and decided, let's go find out for ourselves. Let's go see what it's like down there. And it's worked out and I'm still here.
Yeah. So what was the original goal of wanting to be in music education? Like, was it something that, you know, when you first joined band, you're like, this is what I want to do forever and ever? Or is this something that, like, kind of as you were in college, you're like, you know what, I want to do music education instead?
I think I decided to be a band director my junior year of high school.
Okay.
I think when you're like a freshman in high school, you're starting to kind of figure out what you might want to do. And I knew I wanted to be a teacher, but I didn't know what I wanted to teach. I was also an athlete in high school and all the things. I played softball, so I was super competitive and I loved all of that. And that started to transfer over into music, not necessarily the competitive with other people situation, but being competitive with myself and trying to be the best trumpet player I could. And I really fell in love with that process. And somewhere around my junior year, when I started to get into those upper ensembles in my program and start to see the work that it took to do that and fall in love with that, is when I decided I want to give this experience to other people. So I decided to teach band and become a band director there, and I never really looked back.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned a really good point about overall, even before you knew you wanted to teach band, you wanted to teach in general. So what was kind of the motivation for you wanting to be a teacher? I feel like some of the people that I know that have gone specifically into music education don't necessarily have that path. It's more about like the music. It's more about the experience in band. But I think it's very rare that you find people that want to teach first. And so what was that for you?
I've always loved school. I just loved going. You could ask my mom. I would always come home and like give her the play-by-play of every single thing that happened that day and talk about my teachers and this assignment and that. And I just always loved school and learning and finding new information and finding what's the next thing we're going to do and working on my projects. I don't know if I have an explanation. I've just always loved it. I've always loved learning. And I just knew that I wanted other people to love learning too. And yeah, it just evolved into music for me. But I just love teaching. I just love seeing, students grow and people in general. You don't have to just be, you know, a school age person. Just love learning, love seeing people grow in new places and getting to be a part of that journey for people.
Yeah. And it definitely shows, because not only do you, you know, teach your students at Leander, but now you also teach or did teach at Phantom Regiment and now Blue Stars, correct?
So I didn't teach at Phantom Regiment. Okay. I just marched. But yes, I do teach at Blue Stars now. I'm in year two of the brass staff there. And it is just so much fun. Oh, my gosh.
Are you excited for this season?
And yes.
I know at the time of this recording, I know some people had just started moving in.
Yeah, we have move-ins at the end of this week at the time of this recording. So there, I know all the members are super excited. We just had some of our like last big staff meetings before everything starts in Iowa on Friday. And everyone's super excited about what's going on and the music we're doing and the team that we have put together this year. It's going to be really, really fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Like Jack has told us a little bit about some of the stuff. And I mean, I'm excited to see the show this year. I mean, obviously the show put on last year was amazing, and I expect nothing less.
I think it's going to be even better than anything anybody can expect. It's going to be super cool.
Awesome. So. side question, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought I saw something about Phantom Regiment, something about their alumni corps.
Yes.
They're performing this summer, right?
It's 2026.
Oh, 2026. Okay.
Yes. But I'm so excited about this. So I know that this has been a long time coming for the Alumni Association. I know that they're super excited to get back on the field and be a part of that ensemble again and be with the whole family with a PH and all the things. It's going to be such a special summer in 2026, and I know everyone's really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I saw the announcement on Instagram, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's a lot of planning that goes into it until, like, 2026, right?
Yes, an immense amount of planning.
Well, that's going to be really exciting to see, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's
going to
be awesome.
Yeah, so going back to your teaching career, your first year of teaching was, like, during COVID, right? Like,
yes.
It was like, I remember I was in college, and that was, I believe, my, like, if I remember correctly, I think it was like my second, like, full year. I think I only got like one full year, like, prior to COVID, and then, like, so that was like a year and a half on campus, and then everything shut down. Mm-hmm. So kind of like the evolution of teaching, I feel like since then, obviously, it changed a lot of things for a lot of it changed a lot of how the world works now, but I think it also made a huge impact on teaching. So for you, as someone who, like, first official year teaching was during COVID, what was that evolution that you've seen? How has that changed the way you teach, changed the way you approach things now?
Yeah. This one's always fun too, because my mom and my family, like, asked me about this, especially because, you know, they care, and they're like, oh, how's it going down in Texas? You just moved across the country. Now there's a pandemic. Yeah. So I love telling them about this, and even my sister too, because, you know, she does color guard and all the things, and it's not quite the same for her. And so they're just like, well, how's it going? And I'm like, everything I learned about band from experiencing it, doing it, and then my 4 years of college, take it and put it over here. Like, it's totally different.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that was amplified by being in a new state also and trying to learn all these new processes and things. And then here's another thing where teaching doesn't look anything like anything I've ever done. You know, we're online trying to teach fundamentals, and do all the students have their instruments? Can they play at home? Is there something else going on so they can't? Like, there's just so many things that we don't even know about. And now we're getting lenses into all of our students' lives immediately. They can see into our lives. We're trying to provide them with this wonderful experience that we know, but we've only known how to do it one way our whole lives. It was just so many mazes to do all at once.
Yeah.
And try to get to band. But I think instead of trying to get, like, through the maze back to band, it was like, let's just make a new path. And let's just make this something really special for all the students and all the people involved right now. And so we changed everything about what we were doing when we went into the fall and we started online. It was, we still tried to do like marching band over Zoom and all the things. And it was fun. And I know that the students had fun with that. But it wasn't like, oh, you need to be, you know, we need to be doing all the things right now at this certain tempo and everyone needs to look like this. It's like, hey, you stood up outside today. You saw the sun. That's a win. Like,
yeah.
I think our priorities for the and the timeline shifted what we expected. And as long as everyone was enjoying it and getting a piece of happiness, that was the new goal.
Yeah. And I can only imagine, like, even I'm sure that your first year officially teaching was like very scary and very difficult and add this on top of it. Was there any things that you did specifically to kind of, you know, like self-care or like, you know, just to keep like a positive mindset?
Well, I don't know if people would call it self-care, but I got a dog. Which she's great. She's awesome. That was what I did. But back on a more serious note, I just focused on being there for my students. Like,
yeah.
You know, there was a lot of stuff going on in the world and it was really easy to get pulled so many directions. And I think it was a really important time to figure out what are the things that I really care about, you know, especially I was 23 at the time. So young 20 something just moved across the country. Here's a new career, by the way, here's a pandemic. Like there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
What are the things that I really care about? What are the things that I can control right now and make a positive change or a positive impact on? And I just really focused on those things and tried to do everything I could, whether it was, you know, picking up a new hobby or getting a dog or, trying to reach out to old friends and things like that and reconnect that way or focusing on teaching. I tried to put my energy and time into those types of things.
Yeah. And totally cool. I mean, I have a dog too. Your dog is adorable. My dog is my everything. Dog moms. I saw like a post on Facebook where it was like National Dog Mom Day or something, or like for Mother's Day, it's like dog moms are mothers too.
Yes.
I'm like, yes. I was like, mine. I was like, I had to take care of mine yesterday because like she threw up in my living room, and I was like, and I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, honey, are you okay? Like, I'm upset that you threw up in my living room, but like, are you okay?
Are you okay first? Like, the carpet is carpet, but are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's amazing that you like, you know, honed in on like what is the impact that I can make on my students and being able to focus on that versus, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
So kind of how you said about paving a new path and making a new path, what are some things like now that things are, I don't know, questionably semi-normal, like what are some things that have really stuck that have kind of been the new normal for your approach to teaching kids?
Yeah. You know, I think when teachers start, this is like a little bit broad and then we'll narrow back in.
Yeah.
We always say like, oh, it's student-centered and you need to be a student-centered teacher and all the things. We still have all these outward goals, and that's not a bad thing. But I think before the pandemic, sometimes that balance was a little bit more delicate and it was like, oh, we're leaning really close to being super competitive right now. Is this thing really for the kids or is it for me? And, you know, that sort of balance. And I think it is way clearer now about when we're really being a student-centered teacher. And I think that that's impacted a lot of discussion on social media and like things I see in band director groups. But I think it's also impacted just like people's patience and understanding. And I think that goes for teachers and students. I think we are more patient with students now when something's not clicking the first time or we're not seeing the same progress that we thought we'd see or things like that. We're a little bit more patient.
Yeah.
But I think students are also more patient with their directors and they realize like, okay, they got a lot going on right now. It's like middle of UIL season plus inventory plus all these things. We're going to let them breathe. And I think that's helped the humanity of the art because it is still an art. Like we're music teachers. It's band. It's still an art form. And not to get like on the the arty like soapbox thing about it, right? But like it is. And I think there's so many things in the world that are that don't teach that and don't support that directly. It's there's more instant gratification now than before, even like when we were growing up, that to bring it back to something a little bit human, even in just like a simple way, like we're just more patient, I think is really, really important. And I think that's where some of the bigger impacts have been since the pandemic.
So kind of switching gears, I do want to mention this post I saw by you. And it was a quote that you quoted by, I believe you pronounce her name, Audre Lorde. It says, "I am not free while any woman is unfree, even when her shackles are very different from my own. Look inspired by a strong woman, worn by a strong woman." And like, by the way, you looked amazing.
Oh, thank you.
In that white outfit. But I just read this and that was a really powerful quote. And I wanted to know, what exactly does that mean to you, and how do you apply that to your life now?
Obviously, the look is inspired by Kamala Harris, with the whole white suit and everything. And that was during a turbulent time for the world. And, you know, in the news, there's just all this stuff happening, and every between the world and my friends on, you know, social media, and people I knew well, people I didn't know well, the band community, the performing arts community, everything, just everything was a lot. But we're all still connected. And I just felt really strongly at that point of like, you know, I again, like thinking back to like who I am and what I can control and what I can do. I am still privileged as like a white woman in America, but I do still have unique experiences as a woman in America. And taking that along with all of the women who don't have the same background as me, that are teaching and performing and all the things, and people that I've worked with. And I know, like, I felt very strongly about supporting all of those people and lifting up those voices and being there for each other. While also supporting myself, which I don't think we say that often, but like, you know, you have to support yourself to be able to support other people too. So that's kind of what I was feeling in that moment. And I think I still take that idea into everything I do, you know, like I try to be the woman band director that I didn't necessarily have. And I had fantastic teachers. I had wonderful band directors my entire, you know, middle school, elementary school, middle school, high school, college. Like I had wonderful educators, but I can count on one hand how many of them were women. And so I try to be the woman band director for the next generation of woman band directors. And I think that was part of what I was feeling also. And that's the piece of that that I try to take into my teaching. And when I'm programming, I'm looking at, you know, which composers am I programming? Which clinicians am I bringing out? Whose voices am I choosing to elevate when I have the choice? And I think that was also part of that post, was there's so many people that I can help elevate if I can just open my arms when I have that opportunity and just say, hey, come on, let's go do the thing. Let's do it together.
And I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because there is a quote that means a lot to me. There's this book I'm reading by this author named Tori Dunlap. And she says, I hope I don't quote this incorrectly, but she always says, instead of, when you're at a place when you're like pretty comfortable and succeeding in life, instead of building a higher fence, you make more room at the table, or you build a longer table. And that is something like this podcast is about. I mean, as someone who's taking advantage of the company I work for and the voice that we have in the community, that was where the center of this all came from, is like, I as I was showing you in the trailer earlier, like at the end of the day, this podcast is to help elevate those people. It's the, there's the guests I have come on, whether they come from my coworkers, friends that people recommend, or people that I even personally know, there's always a reason to that. It's like, I choose and ask for people to be on this show for a reason, because I believe in what they're doing. I believe that they're doing, you know, they're making strides in the community and doing positive things and impacting. And so all more the reason, while I've known you for, you know, a very short amount of time, like I said, like Jack talked really highly of you, and I was, and even when we met at the coffee shop, I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yes.
She's going to be a great guest. And so that's kind of, I'm glad that in this community, even with some other people that I know, like, we all try to foster that sense of community, of supporting one another. Because at the end of the day, like, it's not about, like, oh, who's the better band program? Who's the better, you know, music educator? I think we're all trying to help each other out because, like you said, very student-centered. We want to make the impact for the students and to help them achieve at a higher level as well. So, yeah, all more to fostering that community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Stride TV is now available to download on the App Store. Watch exclusive videos like Femme Forte, Inside Drum Corps, Charity Chase, and so much more. Go to stridetv.com and use code FEMMEFORTE to get 50% off premium features like community chat, live Q&A with me, and behind-the-scenes content. Stride TV is home of the arts, a dedicated media platform for the arts community. Femme Forte is sponsored by Beam Music. Are you tired of making copies and printing your music? Beam is the app that will make you actually like distributing music. Organize with collections, create set lists, keep track of time, and share powerful annotations on your sheet music. You know that feeling when you call up a stand tune and everyone frantically looks for the music? Those days are over. Activate Live Mode to automatically connect everyone in the ensemble to your device. When you select a piece of music, everyone's individual parts for that song are instantly displayed on their personal device, all without the need for internet. Head to udb.live/beam to have your entire music library everywhere. Beam, it's the sheet. So one of the other things, like, kind of tagging along to what you said, I also saw a thing about, you were sharing a post about, like, an all-female trumpet sextet, but you were talking a little bit about how you're able to have some pretty awesome women trumpet players, like, at your senior recital. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So at my senior recital, I put together a trumpet sextet. It was all female, like you mentioned. So myself and five other undergrad trumpet students, most of them, I think, were freshmen at the time. So and a good chunk of them were also music education majors, which was super important to me that, once again, other trumpet music education majors who are also female, like, it's like, let's go, we can put this together.
Yeah.
And that was, like, something I wanted to do since, like, my second year of college. I was like, when I get to that senior recital, I'm going to do something super cool like that. And so it was, like, a long time coming for me. We put it together. It was super fun. Just such a fun group to play in. We all came together, and I only knew maybe two of them pretty well before we put it together, and by the end we were all friends. And then fast forward a couple years, when they were seniors, they took the group with some different people, because some of them graduated. they took the group to NTC, the National Trumpet Competition, and they were, I believe, the first all-female finalist group. And I think they were second place that year. This was last year in 2022. They played Birds of Paradise.
Oh, wow.
And a bunch of those musicians were in the same group that I put together, which was just so cool, because that was something that we had talked about when I did my recital of, like, oh, wonder if we can get this together and do it in the spring. I went off for student teaching and it didn't pan out. And then with the pandemic and everything got delayed. But I was just so proud of them to see that through all of that, and after, over the years, they still, like, that core group that started on my senior recital took the group to where we had, like, brainstormed about going. And they took it so, I mean, they performed so well. It was such an impressive performance. I just watched it last week again. Like, it's just so cool to see what they did with it. So.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily familiar with, like, trumpet and trumpet players overall, but would you say that it's very rare to find, like, female trumpet, like, ensembles, or even is there a vast majority of men who play trumpet versus women?
I would say yes. growing up, and I do think that it's starting to shift, you know.
Yeah.
But growing up, I was very often, like, the trumpet girl and like the one girl in the room or something like that, or like one of just a few.
Yeah.
And in my studio, I was one of a handful. And in my undergrad, I was one of a handful. And I think now more of us are becoming adults and getting to be in roles where we get to help kids make choices and put students on instruments and things. And we're seeing more girls playing brass and more boys playing woodwinds. And it's kind of, you know, that stereotype exists and we need to acknowledge that. And
yeah,
we're seeing it go away. And it's like, hey, it's an instrument. Like, if you like it and you're doing well on it, we want to support you to do it.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who grew up being, you know, one of a handful of female percussionists, like, right, I know personally what that experience, you know, for me has been like. And I've talked to, you know, colleagues and friends who have also had a similar experience. But have you had like a certain like personal experience of being like, you know, one of a handful in the brass section?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pretty much every year of drum corps. My first year, 2015, straight out of high school, I was one of four in the trumpet section. And I think one of less than 10.
Yeah,
in the entire horn line.
Mm-hmm.
And it stayed around that number pretty much every year I marched.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely have had that experience. It's not something that bothered me at the time.
Yeah.
Bother might not be the right word, but it is something that like I have more attention to now.
Yeah.
And I see more, probably because I had that experience. But when I see that, I'm like, come on, we can do it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I definitely have been like the only one in the room. Gotcha. Many times.
Yeah. And that goes for me and my experience in general, not only just being like a female percussionist, but like being in this industry. Again, why like this podcast exists is, you know, growing up and being in band, I didn't experience my first woman band director until like way later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it didn't really occur to me until like I started thinking about things for this podcast, and that's where I talk about it a little bit in like episode one of like the origination was the sense that when I started this job, I had more access and was able to talk to people in our community and realize, like, again, not only again some of the struggles that we face as women, but like in general, like how underrepresented we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't occur to me until I started fixating on it and then realizing, oh my gosh, this is a bigger thing than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And so yeah, one of the things that like is the goal, I don't know if it'll actually happen, but if I could think in the clouds for a second, mm-hmm, and dream of something I would like to do. Have you heard of Girls March before?
Yes. They just posted their new dates and I was just looking at that.
Yes. Yes. So I actually was able to do some media around Girls March last year, and I'm hoping to do it again this year. But I think what they do is awesome. And I think I love everything that they stand for. And I really hope one day that same concept can be like expanded to like all the instruments.
Yeah,
that is like my hope. I this is something like I pitched as like, you know, an idea like very early on, and still hoping that it comes to fruition in the next few years or so. But I now realizing, like you said, like I wasn't aware of, you know, brass musicians and that different gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would love like if not only, you know, a whole room full of like women educators, but also like a whole room of like, you know, female students, being able to see the representation, being able to see and have those role models that they can later on look in life and be like, yeah, like I can do this too.
Yes.
So I think, you know, anyway, that's a dream of mine. But
no, I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think especially like as you, like you said, like later in life, because I started band in fifth grade in Illinois. I had a woman band director, and then I had a woman middle school band director. But then as soon as I got to high school, I didn't know any woman band directors that were high school directors in my area.
Yep.
And then I kind of didn't realize it was a like I knew it was a thing, but I didn't know that like it could really be a career. I guess, and like as something that I could really do until I started learning about people that were like already teaching down in Texas. Like, you know, Katie Van Doren's been on here, and she's one person that I met through my time in drum corps. And I was like, oh, like I could do that. Like I can do the thing. This is something that I could do. So yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, we're about to wrap up here, and I have two last final questions for you. The first one being, who do you want to be and what experiences do you want to create?
This is the last question. Oh, my God. These are tough. Who do you want to be? Well, okay, who do you want to be? I want to be myself, right, first and foremost. But if I could pick, like, words to describe who is Amanda, who is the ideal Amanda, right?
Yeah.
Someone who's kind, someone who is incredibly passionate about what she's doing, whenever she's doing it. I want to be somebody that can support the people around me. And if we're talking like education wise, my students and the people that I'm working with, I think something in the back of our mind or my mind when I was growing up, I was like, oh, I always want to be like the inspiring person. And like, I do want to do that, but I don't want to focus on that. I just want to do like be a good human. And as if I'm being a good human through the process, that result will happen, which is kind of like what we tell our students, right? Don't chase the trophy, chase like the music in the music and chase the memories.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I want to do. I forgot your second question.
what experiences do you want to create?
Oh, what experiences do I want to create? I want to give my students as many opportunities as possible. So right now at Leander, that's expanding the jazz band, and providing more opportunities for that in my second year. That's finding different clinicians to bring in, whether it's concert band, marching band, or jazz band. That's finding new ways to introduce them to chamber music or something. Maybe there's something that they're interested in that I had no clue about. Let's explore that. Like, teach me something. This is awesome. I just want them to be able to experience as many things as possible and then go after whatever they want in life. And hopefully that includes music, in my biased opinion. But, you know, whether that's performing or just appreciating and being a lifelong, you know, lover and appreciator of music, that's the type of memories that I want my students to have.
Awesome. And then, that was a combo question, but my true last question for you is, knowing the knowledge you have now, what advice would you have told yourself, like, as the person who was picking up the trumpet for the first time, as someone who was going into their first year teaching during COVID?
Practice. And practice with a metronome. But in all seriousness, I wouldn't change anything I did. Mm-hmm. You know, I love everything I've done so far. There's not necessarily anything I would give as, like, hey, past me, don't do this or do this different.
Yeah.
I think everything I've done, I'm really proud of. The advice I would give would just be, keep doing what you're doing and, you know, keep working hard. Don't stop working hard. Keep doing, because what you want to do, even if it sounds out of reach right now, if you keep doing the things you're doing, you will get there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much once again for being on the show. Where can our listeners find you? Is there like a website, email, social media you want to throw out there?
I'm on Facebook. Yeah. You can find me on Facebook. Add me as a friend. I probably have some hiking or rock climbing picture up there. You can find me on Instagram. It's first name, last name with an underscore. And I don't have a website right now. But you can find me on social media and say, hi, I heard you on the podcast. And I'll go, oh, cool. And then I'll add you back. So
perfect. Well, thank you once again.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Femme Forte. Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeFries. Music is by Humans Win. To learn more about our guests, sponsors, and get more resources, go to FemmeFortePodcast.com and follow us on social media at Femme Forte Podcast.